Happy Lord's Day, everyone. I know y'all miss hearing that today. I miss hearing it too. This is the first Sunday in the new year. So happy that we are here, because we know there are some that did not make it this far. And so, what I came up with today for a lesson I'd like to talk about for a little bit is making wise choices. Hopefully wise choices that will carry us through this year. Some people like to make resolutions. The only thing wrong with resolutions is sometimes you don't keep them. So maybe if we concentrate on making some wise choices, we have something to keep working on throughout the whole year. It's okay to fall off sometimes, as long as we just keep on, as they say, you fall off the horse or the bicycle, you get back on and keep on going. The Old Testament provides valuable lessons for the Christian of today and future Christians. Nothing in Scripture is written in vain, as explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. As the brother read this morning, those three verses, I'll concentrate on this first one, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, thank you, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. You know, sometimes we say we're living in the last days. If we, and I don't think no one in here is not old enough to hear or attest to the statement that you've seen things change from the times when you were younger to the way things happen now. So this is truly the beginning of the last days if we're not already in the last days. God had wise and gracious purposes toward us in leaving the Jewish history upon record for an example to us, a warning against the same sins. If we would escape the same punishment, we must not do as they did. As we were studying this morning in Proverbs, we've been studying about getting wisdom. Much of the lesson we went over this morning kind of coincides with what I want to talk about today. And in this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it specifies a lot of the different things that the Israelites did, the Jewish people. And it points out some of the things that we may not specifically do as they did, but it's still some things that we do that they did, and we could still be punished. Maybe not quite as severely, but we do be punished. As Newton said, for every action there's an opposite and equal reaction. We know that to be true anyway. Well, with that thought in mind, let's take a look at a few valuable lessons that we can learn from making wise choices in our lives. Because the one thing that we can identify with what they did, even us ourselves today, and I'm sure you can too, I know I can, some choices that I've made in life, I wish I could go back and change. But if you don't learn anything from it, then you haven't done anything. But if you learn something from it, it can help you from keep doing the same thing over and over again. Two main examples I want to bring out this morning. I want to start off with talking about an example using Lot. Lot made a choice as to where to live. In his desire for wealth and comfort, he chose the fertile Jordan Valley and pitches his tent close to Sodom, despite its reputation as a city of exceeding wickedness. And that's found in Genesis chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. You know, sometimes we make decisions or we make choices, and of course we have our best interests in mind. Nobody can predict what the future brings. Only God knows. But sometimes you think about it, you make a choice according to what you think is the right choice at the moment. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But what is most important is, what do you base that decision on? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Now, as a result from Lot making that choice, he experienced war and kidnapping. He was kidnapped. Found in Genesis chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. He was also oppressed and tormented by the ungodly citizens of Sodom. Not only him, but his family also. That's found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He lost all of his possessions, the death of his wife, and incest with his daughters, found in Genesis chapter 19. Now, surely, you can imagine, as I would, that he didn't intend for none of that to happen, because he was looking at the land. It seemed a good piece of land to live in. It provided a whole lot of things that he needed to survive. So he thought he made a good choice. But look at what happened from the result of his choice. Another example we'll look at is David. David made a choice to commit adultery with Bathsheba. As a consequence, he suffered the death of his infant son, the son he had with Bathsheba. That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. A daughter molested by her half-brother. The half-brother's name was Amnon. That's found in 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 14. And 2 years later, that same son was killed by her vengeful brother, Absalom, in 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 28 and 29. And in the course of time, Absalom leads a rebellion against King David and shames David publicly. And afterwards, Absalom's death brought even more grief to David, the king. That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 18. As we discussed this morning in our Sunday school lesson about how not raising your child right, or not raising your child with the fear of God, or not even disciplining your child, how things could happen, some consequences that you could experience, but nothing like what happened with David. From these two examples, a need for making wise choices can be illustrated. But we want to consider a few choices that can greatly affect your life. Some choices that you will make in your lifetime, some you may have already made. But I'm only going to bring about five and just hopefully give you some thought on those five choices. Number one, choosing Jesus. Will you follow Jesus or not? Will you keep his commandments and do his will all the days of your life? Or will you just do it some of the time when it suits you? Will you become a disciple and help spread the word of God? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation? From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. This one decision will affect your life more than any other. It will determine your place in eternity. Some people don't even consider eternity. They just feel like, well, when I'm dead, I'll be like Rose. It'll be all over. But we know differently. We believe that there's a life after death. That's why we believe in God. It will have a bearing on every other decision that you make if you choose Jesus. Because, number one, you're not going to act like other people. You're going to act like you chose Jesus. You will be concerned with what you say and what you do. You will be concerned with what you say and do, and as a disciple, you will be concerned with doing what Christ wants you to do and simply not doing what you want to do. You can find that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. But we know that as Christians, we're supposed to stand out anyway. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to be so high and mighty that people are going to bow down to us. It just means that when people see you, they should know you from someone that is considered a drunkard. Or they should know you from someone that has filthy mouth. Or they should know you as someone that when they see the person coming, they say, oh, Lord, here they come again. It should be a difference. Another choice we can look at is choosing a career. And even from a worldly viewpoint, your choice is important. The job market is always changing. You may get a job today and come there in a year. The place is locked up. Nobody knows what's happening. Nobody contacted you, and you wondering, well, where is everybody? Your job is over. Nobody told you anything. Or as I've heard it said, there's one person, they went to work, and they was working at this place, and they told everybody to come outside. Everybody came outside, and then they told him, if your key doesn't fit the door, you no longer have a job here. What a cruel way to let you know that your job has been terminated. We don't know what the future holds. The wrong choice could lead to financial ruin or income hardship. Equally important, the choice can have a lasting effect on your marriage, your family, or your service to God. Make the choice to honor God first, and you will be blessed. That is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it reads, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Make money the primary fact in your decision, and destruction will follow. From 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, that reads, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the path and pierced themselves with many griefs. As we know, some people would do anything for money. We don't want to live like that. But we do need money in order to survive each day that we live. But it's also honoring the way in which you earn it. Another choice, choosing a mate. I would think this one would be kind of important. The choice will determine to a great extent what degree of happiness you may have in life. As in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. And that, by the way, also applies to men. It will have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional being. You can think you can simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice. I remember when I was younger, there used to be a thing going around, people wanted to live together. You know, we're going to live together and see if it's a mistake. But sometimes somebody going to have to end up taking care of that mistake. Y'all will get that later. You may, as I said, you may want to just divorce the person, think that's it. But however, once you have children, there's no way to reverse the choice that you made as to who is the mother or father of your child. Also, the children are not unaffected by the violence of divorce. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, the man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. And again, I said, it applies to men just as well as women. Another choice, quite important also, choosing your friends. Having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend that loves at all times is born, that is, becomes a brother in adversity, and is so to be valued. Another thing used to be said when I was younger, when we had friends, we used to call them stick men. They stick around with you as long as you got something that they can get. But when you don't have anything, you don't have no stick men, because they are gone. And you can find that out when you have money in your pocket and you're the one that's buying. You're going to always have people around you. Let that money run out and see how many people be around you then. However, the wrong friends can be a curse. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I'm sure you all heard that saying, one rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. And the last choice, choosing where to live. It was a choice. Well, this was the choice where Lot made his mistake. It appeared to be a sound business decision. Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. But it was a poor moral decision. It's found in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Upon what basis do we choose where to live? Is it based solely on how much of a house we can afford? Is it based upon the location to work, to school, to the grocery store, to the hospital, and this can go on and on? Do we even consider whether it will help or hinder our service to God or His church? There may be some modern day Sodoms and Gomorrahs to avoid. Now, I'm quite sure there are. I don't know about you, but every time I look at the news, I like to look at Channel 8, but just about any channel that you turn to, 6, 8, 12, there's always somebody getting shot. And a whole lot of times, it's the same place. the same area, you see that they, if they're not getting shot, there's some type of violence going on. And another thing that crosses my mind is when I look at TV and I see people that live in these places where tornadoes may come through, flood may come through, fire may come through, and they always say, we're going to rebuild. I would say after the first time, I'm going to move. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot for me. For every action I said, there is a reaction, and for every choice, there is a consequence. To increase the likelihood that our choices will be good to increase the likelihood that our choices will have good consequences, let's take a look at a few suggestions to make good choices. I don't have many of those. Number one, what we did this morning is studying wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. He promises to give wisdom generously to all those who act and believe and not doubt. The important part at the end, not doubt. There's no point in asking if you're not going to believe he's going to give it to you. We find that in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Also, asking for wisdom requires earnest and persistent effort, as found in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. You have to continuously ask. You have to believe. You know, I used to have a friend that said, let me ask you a question. I know what you're going to say, though. But if you know what I'm going to say, why are you going to ask me? You know, but if you don't believe God is going to help you, then don't pray. Because you don't believe. If you're going to wait for him to help you, and then you're still not going to believe because you didn't believe him at first. Include requests for wisdom in your prayers to make wise choices. And another suggestion, ask others for advice. There is safety in having many counselors. I think we touched on that this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. There is wisdom in heading there's wisdom in heeding the counsel of others. That's found in Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now, that's, as we say, common sense, that make a whole lot of sense anyway. You know, if someone tells you, Don't go through this door because something's going to happen. Curiosity will wonder what's going to happen. Maybe I can just peek through there and see if I can see what's going to happen. I ain't going to go through, I'm just going to peek. I think that's what happened with Lot's wife when she left. She just wanted to see. Sometimes it's not good to see everything. For lack of guidance, a nation falls. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Two great sources for counsel is number one, the Bible itself. Especially a book like Proverbs. It can give you a lot of wisdom, a lot of guidance, a lot of information, and some good advice. Another source is older and mature Christians. Don't hesitate to ask others what they would do. I ask Jerry all the time. But commit your choices to the Lord. If you trusting that you have made the right choice, and you think this is good choice. Pray to the Lord and ask him, is it good for him? Is it good to him? Psalms chapter 37, verses 5 and 6, and verses 23 and 26 will tell you it's a good choice to ask the Lord his opinion on it. Just pray to him. And make your choice with the understanding, as we sometimes say, which we should say more often, if the Lord wills. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. We can come up with good ideas all the time. Seems good to us. We thought about it, we pondered over it, figured it out every angle. But like I said before, nobody knows what the future holds except God. That would be the person you should run it past to make sure. One might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to his will, that he might prevent the carrying out of the choice, or to otherwise show you what his will is. But above all, include God in your choice and ask him for the guidance and pray to him that he may help you make the choices you need. This is my lesson for today. Hopefully you will get something out of it that will help you make better choices in this year, 2024, and will carry you throughout the year. As you all know, some of you may not know, but there's a plan of salvation in place for those that wish to pursue the Lord and follow him. Sometimes we can make bad choices, but we have to pray to the Lord to ask him to guide us, to forgive us, and to show us the way. There's no shame in asking for the Lord to forgive the things that we have done wrong, because he said he will forgive us and he will help us if we only but come to him and ask. In order to accept the Lord's greatest gift of salvation to us, we must hear his word, and we must believe what we hear. And if we hear it and believe it, then it should motivate something in us to make us want to do his will. And we will confess to him. We will repent first, and then we will confess. Because if you did wrong, and you know you did wrong, you have to say you're sorry. But you can't just say, I'm sorry, like little children. You know, how little children do. Say you're sorry, I'm sorry. Do they really mean it? When you say you're sorry, you're supposed to turn away from it and stop doing what you know was wrong. My brother-in-law used to say, when you learn better, you do better. Some people, they know better, but they keep on doing it anyway, and then they want to blame it on something else. The devil made me do it. No. We can't stand in front of judgment and say the devil made me do it, because that's not going to work. But after we repent and turn away from it, then we must be baptized. And there comes the hardest part, is living what you said that you confessed to, that Christ is God's Son, and you believe in him, and you're going to pattern your life behind him. You don't have to go throughout the land or go through everywhere telling people, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. And the way you carry yourself and the things that you do, people will already know. Just like they know what kind of person it is when they say, oh, Lord, here, come again. They would know you are a child of God by the way you carry yourself. This is my lesson I present to you. I hope that you get something out of it this morning, and I pray that God blesses you for it. Thank you.